What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Producers Journal podcast. I hope you're having a good day. I'm absolutely having a great day. And I hope you are prepared to be smashed in the face with some of the most intense wisdom that has ever been put upon you. Prepare yourself, please. So check this out, y'all. I want to, before we get into the featured topic of sponsoring a podcast, let me give you some updates on where things are at right now. YouTube. Previously, I talked about how I was moving my this podcast from my business channel, which was Shell Bureau Productions, to my personal channel. Why? Because it's monetized. And I completely revamped all the playlists. It actually put me in even more focus on how to handle that channel and start pushing out more content on a more consistent basis. So last week I moved, at the time, all 22 episodes over, I believe, and then reconnected it to Podbean. So now Podbean will sync to that channel. And man, it's been great. Got a lot of great feedback. Now, obviously, I never expected to get the same amount of views on the audiograms for the podcast as I would for a vlog or some of the other content that I've been putting on there. Because my audience is a bit older, and there's a story behind that. You know, real quick, my mom had a channel, and she pushed her audience to me when I started mine, and over 5,000 of them subscribed. So that's pretty awesome. But this content will not engage with all of them, and I get it, and I had realistic expectations. I will say the feedback and the views completely went above and beyond my expectations. So it's really nice. The latest episode I put out there got over 100 views and made a dollar. And that means a lot to me. That's really cool. This podcast is officially monetized. Thanks to my channel and thanks to my mother for pushing an audience my way. So I'm very grateful for that. And that's why I take the channel seriously, or I'm going to start taking it more seriously, because I've been gifted a nice monetized channel. So why not capitalize on that? With that said, I want to also now talk about a video I made for that channel where I filmed a very simple video documenting my building of the new home studio slash office setup. I'm not going to call it a tutorial because I just don't feel like I'm teaching anyone how to set this stuff up, but I definitely filmed each step and just kind of told the viewer what this piece is, and then here's what it looks like now. Okay, next is I'm going to work on this part, then it would cut, and here's what it looks like now. So I'm going to talk about what I did, but then go down into the description, and I will have the direct link for that video, so then you can get the visual of what I'm going to explain right now. So when I moved into a lease, I had to migrate a lot of my equipment over here because I wanted this microphone, I wanted my Rodecaster over here. This is where all the good stuff needs to be. But what that did was script my home setup of everything, even my computer tower came over here. So I have a laptop, and I wanted to set my home situation back up so I can do record content, audio, record video content, and plug my bass guitar into the system so then I can woodshed songs. Anyone that doesn't know what that means, woodshedding means just learning songs. And what I like to do is put headphones on so I can hear the song, hear my bass, and play along together. That's how I learn music. So that's exactly what I had before I migrated the stuff to the studio, and I needed to build something that offered me all of those options again. But I needed to be more conscious of budget. I am very fortunate that my business is in a position where this whole studio venture I'm doing is on cash. Love that, not adding debt, but I still have to be careful. So when it came to furnishing my home studio, and I use studio not facetiously, but it's not really a studio. It's a corner of my bedroom, right? I needed to build something that fit my needs, but was less expensive than a Shure SM7B microphone like I'm talking into right now, and a Rodecaster board. Still, if you went on Sweetwater right now, the board and this microphone combined is a good $800, $900 probably. Didn't want to do that. So I did some research and found a hybrid mixer board. It's from Allen & Heath. It's a little four-channel board, very simple. The EQ is very limited. It's just low frequency, high frequency. But the awesome part about it, it's also an interface. So I can just plug it right into my laptop, good to go. Now, it doesn't have the processing like a Rodecaster has. It doesn't have these little hot buttons like that I play my music from. It's a very simple board. But now that gave me the tool where I can plug a microphone into. All right, well, what microphone did I get? I got a Shure SM58. $100. Industry standard, will last forever. Boom stand, pop filter, done. And then it's also designed, this board is, that you can plug your instrument straight into it, and it has some great gain to it. So I plug my bass straight into it. Guitar to Allen & Heath board channel number 2. And it has some punch. Usually when you plug directly into like a Mackie board or whatever, it's thin and thuddy and farty. Just, you know, you can't get much life out of it. This Allen & Heath board, it sounds awesome. So there's my setup. $100 mic, $250 board, $40 for the boom, $5 for the pop filter. Done. But the last piece I needed was a way to fit all of this on my desk. So before, I had my big monitor mounted with a clamp and a boom arm at the far end of my desk, which eliminated or relieved me of a lot of space. Like I had a lot of desk space. So then I had the Rodecaster in front of me. Well, now if I have a laptop in front of me, I have no place for a board. So I got a tray mount for my laptop, which is really awesome. I'm loving it. So you just clip it to your desk. It's got a boom arm that you can manipulate in all these different directions. And then it's just a tray that you can angle at a certain angle and throw your laptop on it and mount it up. So now it's perched up, which I like working on now. It's a small screen, so I was able to lift it up, get it a little closer to me, and then that opened up space on the table or the desk where now I can put my board. All is done except for one factor, and it's why I'm not recording in that setup today. I like playing my music in real time. As you hear this episode or any of my episodes, when that music kicks in, I'm playing it in real time. I want to play this and kind of do this like a radio show. So I need to get my iPad connected into that board and then have hotkeys on my iPad. There's apps out there where it's just you can load up buttons and you just hit a button and bam, there's my theme music. But then I need a USB-C dongle and a stereo, you know, mini to a stereo quarter inch, blah, blah, blah. Haven't done that part yet, but looking forward to really sound checking and tweaking that setup so I can start recording from home. All right, y'all. Let's move to the featured topic today. But first, this topic is brought to you by Patreon. Go to my description, click on my Patreon link, and it will take you to my account where there is one tier offered right now. And it's called the Tip Jar. And it's $1 a month. And that's purely what it is, a tip jar. Just like when you go see live music, you throw $5 in their tip bucket. Now, they don't give you anything new for that $5. It's just a nice gesture from you as a way to thank the band. I love your music. Here's $5. and then the band keeps playing. So that's the transaction. So if you like this podcast and you want to help me out, throw me a tip. I got a tip jar, a virtual tip jar out there waiting for you. It's at patreon.com. Check out my link in the description. And I think it would be a great way for you to support me, and I would be super appreciative of that. How about that, huh? Before I move on, I got to talk about what just happened there. So it's a new element to the podcast. Element is a term from radio. What you just heard was a sweeper or bumper music. I added an explosion on the front end, had it blend into that music, and then that's my way of now transitioning or sweeping from my updates to the topic, and voila. And yes, Patreon, that's a real thing now. I'm going to start promoting, and so it technically sponsors this podcast, right? So there you have it. Go to the description, click the link for Patreon, and throw a buck in that bucket. I would appreciate it. All right. While we're on the topic of sponsoring, let's talk about other ways to sponsor a podcast. By total coincidence, I did not start my Patreon sponsorship knowing that that's what this episode was going to be about. But hey, that's how it works sometimes. The topic of monetizing a podcast is the most popular one, obviously. Rather than wanting to create content for a good reason or to build your business, you know, those are reasons that are getting more and more popular. But you got some people that are like, how do I make money doing this? I've had people contact me, hey, how do I get monetized on my podcast? Well, how many downloads do you have? Well, 1,000 per episode? Oh, no. Over a year, I have 1,000 downloads. Okay. You're not monetizing your podcast in the traditional sense. No one's going to pay to throw an ad up, as we call pre-roll. No one's going to pay for that because they get no reach. You have no reach. People are not going to hear this ad. So why would someone pay you $1,000 a month to run that ad on your podcast? It doesn't make sense. So that's why I would say 95% of the podcasts out there, which would be 1 million, aren't monetized. And for the far majority, everyone gets that. You come into podcasting as a way to grow your brand, amplify your message. I'm doing this podcast because I want to talk about producing. And I call it a journal because I want to come on here and vent and riff and do whatever I need to do. Fortunately, I have a channel, YouTube channel that's monetized. So, okay, that was one way to get this podcast technically monetized. But what if I was to tell you that you could technically get your podcast monetized through sponsorships via your social media platforms? So hear me out. I have a podcast called The Real Hernando. Talked about it a few times. Community podcast for the city I live in. Interview small businesses, the owners, and other leading figures in the community. What's great about this is because it's local and the other local businesses want to support this podcast, but by sharing and engaging with posts that I put out there to promote each episode, videograms mostly. So our social media reach is awesome between TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. We're reaching over 40,000 a month. Now, it took 6 months to build to that point. I had no analytics for episode one, obviously. But we were cataloging all the analytics on purpose after each episode cycle to build to what I have built. And that is a sponsorship kit to pitch to people. And the far majority of what a sponsor will get is exposure on our social media platforms. Between the three platforms, like I said, are with impressions and engagements, the overall reach is like 40,000 a month, which is amazing. Anyone is going to want to be a part of that. But our episodes are getting 30 downloads and maybe 100 views on YouTube. There's no way anyone's going to pay for that. But when you give them a full package of mentions and promotion on all platforms, then now we're talking. So we can say, all right, you'll get a pre-roll ad on our audio and video. And then you sugarcoat it. You're going to be on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Audible. But then we really break into the true value. And it's putting their logo in as many places as possible on our social outreach, our social platforms, when it comes to the podcast. The podcast pushes out 2 posts a week. 1 episode gets a 2-week cycle. So brand new episode comes out on a Tuesday. And we promote that day by using what's called an episode card. And it's just a headshot of the guest. We put our Real Hernando branding around it, the person's name, his or her title. And then in the write-up, we talk about, hey, new episode dropped today. We talked to so-and-so about such-and-such. Check it out. Links, call to action, all that stuff. Okay, well, why not take a business and throw their logo on that episode card, that graphic? Sponsored by ice cream store, whatever it may be. Okay, then you can say that one post is going to get probably 2,000 to 3,000 impressions. That's 2,000 to 3,000 screens that that post went through on their phone or on their computer. That's 2,000 to 3,000 eyeballs that saw your logo. Oh, then we'll also mention you. This episode is brought to you by or sponsored by. And not only are we going to mention your name, but then we'll tag you. We'll tag you on the Facebook post. We'll tag you on Instagram as another way to push people to your Facebook page or your Instagram, which will then connect them to your website, hopefully, and so on and so forth. And it just continues that way. So post day is Tuesday. That Thursday of that week, we put out a video clip, a videogram, and we format it in 2 ways. We format it, we keep it widescreen for Facebook, and then we also cut it down to format for Reels, TikToks, and Facebook Reels as well. All right, well, let's throw that logo in the corner, bottom left-hand corner of the video. So for the full 60 seconds of that video clip, that logo is right in there. So anyone that actually engages and listens and watches that video, they're going to know who the sponsor is. Period. Because of the logo. Because a lot of people don't read anything. I don't, especially with Reels, I do not go to the descriptions for Reels. I just flip through, watch. If it's not interesting, next. If it is interesting, I laugh, and then next. So that logo is key, because it's right there in front of your face. But then, of course, all the mentions and all the tags, everything you need to promote the sponsor, you do. Okay, the second week of the cycle, Tuesday, Thursday, 2 more video clips. So 1 episode gets 4 posts over a 2-week period. Episode card, 3 videograms. All that reach. So that's probably 20,000. Well, I don't know about specific Facebook or Instagram, because we get some really good reach on YouTube, even though the views are only like 100 or so. Still, it categorizes impressions. So someone might be flipping through YouTube and see our new episode. They won't click into it, but it's an impression. So I don't know what each platform gets as I say this now, but we know the overall. So that there alone is enticing to anyone, I would think, because of that reach. And we can prove the numbers to them. So rather than think of it as, you know, monetizing the podcast, you're monetizing like a network. Yes, the podcast is called the Real Hernando Podcast, but in a way, it's the Real Hernando Network. Movement, if you will. It's all encompassing. All right, so now thumbnails. With each episode, we use the episode card that we put on Facebook as the thumbnail for our website for each episode, because we bake in each episode on our website. So that's the thumbnail for there. Okay, now your logo is all over our website. We then do a widescreen version thumbnail for YouTube. Bam, put your logo on that. So, all right, more value. And then this is the one I really like. The featured sponsor will get a full page on our website that they can do whatever they want to on, I guess, within reason. Basically, as a way to give them a page and promote your business, provide a coupon, provide a promo code exclusive to the website. You have to print something out. It's good for 30 days. But you have to get it from the website. Well, now that's a win-win for everyone. The sponsor is getting promotion because we're going to promote that page on our socials. So that's added a third post a week. So we're going to look at this in terms of weeks. So now it's a third post a week that isn't about the podcast. It's about the network. So The Real Hernando is promoting the featured sponsor's deal. 50% off. No, that's a lot. Let's say it's 15% off a shirt at a boutique. And we post about it and we send people to our website. But really, we're specifically sending them to that featured sponsorship page on our website, pushing people to that coupon so they can print it off and get that deal. Well, what's also happening in that transaction? We're pushing people to the website, the Real Hernando website, which then puts the podcast in front of more eyeballs. Total win-win. And it's another post that brings in more impressions, which increases your reach. And their logo's on that post, talking about their deals, their discount. That one, for me, I feel like gives them the most value. So what do you charge for something like this? And there might be another thing in there. I don't have it in front of me. I'm not a professional. I didn't prepare well enough because I come on here and riff. That's what I do, whether you like it or not. But, well, I didn't know how to charge for this. So I leaned on some of my friends here locally that I trust, that get the podcast, understand what I'm doing, and are familiar with sponsorship situations, like sponsoring things or getting things sponsored. One in particular, my friend Robert Carter, he's the head booster. He's the president of the Boosters Club for the Hernando High School football team. He knows what it's like to ask people to sponsor things. I had some other friends that buy sponsorships. They sponsor things. So they were able to look at my breakdown and then give me some kind of value of, well, what they would want to pay for it. Because they know all these other things they've sponsored. They have an idea of how that looks. What you get for a dollar. What you get for $100. You know, banners. Sponsoring a sports event, whatever it may be. And all of the feedback I got was awesome and very positive. And the kind of numbers they were throwing around made me very happy. And a lot of them were like, man, I've spent X amount of dollars on these sponsorships. And there's two things that you provide that I didn't get with them. A, way more reach, and no proof. They have no proof of who drove past that billboard or who drove past the plywood sign that's hanging on the side of the baseball field fence, or someone sitting at the football field watching the football game at the high school, and someone has an ad underneath the scoreboard. all they have to go by is how many people on average go to a home game and how many home games are there a year. Okay, that's pretty much all you're going to get as far as reach. But there's no way to actually catalog that reach. So those are two very powerful things I get to offer. Great reach and proof of reach. And that's what my contacts loved the most. So they really put this at a premium. Like, you can charge pretty good for this. So, and I'll talk numbers here. It's all good. So I'm looking to get $750 a month. My contacts were saying $1,000. $750, $1,000, maybe a little north of $1,000 is very doable. All right, well, let's start lower on the front end. It's brand new. And $750 a month or $2,000 for a quarter. Give them a little deal to go three consecutive months. I have a beautiful PDF all written up. In fact, as I say this, I'm going to put a link in the description so you can see this. Go in the description. I'll make it a Dropbox link or a Google Drive link that you can view. And now you'll see what I'm talking about. And it's also a way for you to see how awesome my team is that designed this thing for me and worked with me. I kind of just said, I want to have this information, these things. It's important to have this and that, and turn into like an 11-page presentation. And it's really good. And we spent some good time on it. And then now I have the rates on there. At this point, as I record this, I've pitched four people. I have serious interest from one business here. It's a community. It's a retirement community called Wesley Meadows. And I actually had them on the Real Hernando podcast. And that's how that relationship started. And it just happens, it's good timing. As I record this, it's late August. So in September, they start working on their 2023 marketing budget. So I'm sneaking in at the prime time. I'm just waiting for another week or so before the marketing director is ready to talk to me. She loves the pitch. She loves the rate. She thinks it's good. So I'm hoping that happens. But I have to continue to pitch because who knows? That could fall through. So there's a few businesses that I knew the owners from that I sent pitches to, and then one of these business owners, her name is Jennifer Ziegler. She owns a business here called Easy Realty. She's in the know with a lot of the people that are in the like the city council that directly help small businesses. And she said that they would be a great resource, or these people that she gave me two names that would be great resources for me to not necessarily be my sponsor, but connect me with businesses that would like to sponsor, and the bigger businesses too. I would love to be super organic and small business and have the local ice cream store be my sponsor, but they might not be able to afford it. Where some of the bigger, you know, realty businesses here, the local State Farm, I know State Farm is like, man, that's corporate, but the local State Farm down the street is owned by someone that everyone knows, and it's just still got the small town feel. So there's different levels of our local commerce here, and I want to target the top ones, the ones that have budgets specific for marketing and sponsorships and could definitely like what I have to offer. Left two voicemails with two different people that were part of that upper echelon bracket. Never heard back. I'll follow up next week. So now I'm in the world of sales, which I'm not comfortable with. I'm learning as I go, but that's where I'm at right now. I got the PDF built. I'm very confident in the rate because I did the research, so I know what the market would most likely be able to handle, and I have started pitching. And that's it. And hopefully I can update you guys as you listen to this over the weeks and talk about how I got a new sponsor. Perfect world. Someone wants to pay for a whole year. Let's go. 12 months. Sweet. Let's do it. It would help pay the rent for my room. But we will see how it goes. In closing, this is just another way to look at how to monetize anything. Because it comes down to reach. Everyone thinks downloads. Man, I don't have enough downloads to get monetized. Well, you're right if you're basing your monetization purely on your downloads. But if you build a network, podcasts on all the podcast channels, a website, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and just post and make a nice calendar of content so stuff is going out frequently and consistently, and you will build reach. That is what you're selling. You are selling the reach, not the downloads, not the views. It's a combination of all of that. So what sounds better to you if you wanted to be my sponsor? 30 downloads a month or 40,000 impressions a month? You tell me which sounds sexier. I'm going to say the reach of 40,000 is very sexy. I think that's a good place to stop. This is a much longer episode, but I just called 40,000 impressions sexy. So clearly it's time for me to stop talking. ShelbyRowProductions.com. Check it out. Check out my YouTube channel. Now you can find my episodes or these episodes in audiogram form. All these links are on my description. Instagram at ShelbyRowProductions LLC. Check it out. Patreon. Link in description. So come support. Throw a dollar in that tip bucket for me. It would be so appreciated. It would mean more to me than you would realize. So until next time, y'all, you have yourself an awesome day. We'll be right back.